What's up, everybody? It's time for another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. The seniors are back again. Jared Stansberry, joined by Rob Gray. Happy Monday, Rob.
Yes, happy Monday to you as well. Cubs-Cardinals coming up. Seniors will sit down and enjoy maybe a brewski to kick it off, and then head our separate ways into our opposing camps.
It's definitely going to be a fun night. I think it's going to be a fun game. You get both, I mean, I would say pseudo aces getting on the hill, and Michael Wacha and Jake Arrieta. It's going to be fun. It's not fun on Twitter, though, man. Twitter is not a good time during the Cubs-Cardinals games.
No, and I tweeted a lot in the Pirates game, and I couldn't tweet a whole lot in the game, too, that the Cubs won because of, working to try to do the recap and get stuff off the radio for Iowa State's stunning 66-31 loss at Texas Tech. But, I might just lay a little bit low on Twitter a little bit tonight because it's a lot more fun to just sit and enjoy the game.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But it just makes me mad that I can't – like, I tweeted one thing about the Cardinals today, and I'm catching guff from the Cubs fans. I mean, you Cubs fans tweet all you guys want, and you guys are always blowing up my Twitter feed. I tweet one thing about the Cardinals. Am I a ridiculous Cardinals tweeter?
No, yes, not at all.
Exactly.
Not at all.
And I catch guff one time.
Cubs fans are going to become, to everyone else, and I'm speaking as a Cubs fan, totally insufferable. They already are to some people. But if they do break through and win a World Series for the first time since 1908, they'll be like the fans of my other favorite team, the Red Sox, who people kind of played, you guys suffered for a long time. For them, it was 1918, I believe, before 2004. And now people just hate Red Sox fans.
Right.
It'll happen the same way because we as Cub fans, we don't know how to handle success. So there will be all kinds of crazy, bizarre celebrations, puffing out your chest when you won one World Series title in 107 years, if it were to happen, I'm
right.
Speaking as a Cubs fan, I would hope that my fellow Cubs fans would retain the perspective they should have acquired, whether they've been a fan for 10 years or like me, 120. That 1908 was good, though, man.
I'm just saying that the Cubs fans are losing their lovable part of the lovable losers name.
Yeah, well, the team lost it for a long time. Even when they were sort of winners in 2008, 2009, those teams I knew would go into the playoffs and just get handled because they were the Hendry version of the Cubs. Lots of power, okay pitching, lead the league in strikeouts, last in the league in walks. That apparently was the blueprint. Now, they had a couple teams that
Soriano, Derek Lee. Yep. Aramis Ramirez. Yep.
I mean, they had some nice years there under Pinella, especially the playoff appearances, but they ran into good pitching.
Yeah.
At the front end of a five-game series, boom, boom, boom. I remember the Dodgers shut them out, I think, 2 out of 3, just swept them out like they were, a dust bunny. they just found under your bed or something. There you go, Cubbies. There's your 90-plus win season because they were built to fail in the postseason.
Yeah.
This team isn't. It still strikes out a lot, but it also walks a lot. And I think those things are actually connected in this case, the way they approach working the count and everything else. So it's exciting. They're lovable now, no matter what. And obviously not for anyone else because, they're good for a change again.
Yeah, I don't like them.
I don't blame you.
And
I don't blame Cubs fans for hating the Cardinals either. I mean, I've said before, respect, but I mean,
there's just I'll never try and say that Cardinals fans are good people because the majority of them or a very, very vocal minority is they're ridiculous as well. You've ever heard of the Twitter account Best Fans in Baseball.
Yeah. Then there's Mike Shannon. I remember Mike Shannon back in the day when the Cubs were making it in '89 and then got beat by the Giants. I can remember that.
Uh-huh.
Mike Shannon, happened to be watching a game and or actually maybe he was just listening to it, and I'm pretty sure it was Shannon. Cardinals beat him one day, and I remember him going, "Maybe next year, Cubbies," during the broadcast. I was like, oh, man, the arrogance. But, I mean, the Cardinals can back it up. you know, not to the tune that the Yankees can, obviously. Right. But, I mean, they can back it up. I mean, good, not so good down the stretch. Best record in baseball, worst record in the playoffs. They still roll in the playoffs almost every year and perform very well. So that's why I settle on respect, even though some of the gloating, I try to let it we were on the Taylor Swift kick last Thursday. I shake it off, you know.
Yeah, Taylor Swift. That concert was amazing, though. I'll be honest with you.
I'll bet it was. I'll bet it was. I'm sure the atmosphere in the crowd had something to do with it as well.
It was. It was very similar to an Iowa State basketball game. Mm. It actually might have been louder than... It was like...
Did she perform a version of a jock jam?
No. We need to get some Taylor Swift in.
Did she
help.
Say, are you ready for this? That'd be something. Taylor Swift covers jock jams.
That would be... We'd all you be know it would go... Hills. You know it'd
oh,
be
it
number
would.
One.
It would be platinum, double platinum, you know, whatever it is now, with that, since it's not really physical records or CDs that are the most important thing. But, yeah, that'd be something.
And then
that could be our intro music, which apparently we'll never find a way to have, but that's fine. We just roll right in and do our thing.
Do you think we could get a hold of Taylor Swift and she could just make some jock jams, you know, do a little cover for us that we could...
I think that's very doable.
We could probably work our names into it somehow as well.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, but just tweet at her, right? I mean, we'll be set.
If anyone knows how to get a hold of Taylor Swift, let us know, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, but Iowa State. Iowa State got beat by a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It was shocking, really. And I wanted to... The preview that I did, I wanted to... make it that litmus test, and really more for the defense than the offense, because the defense had performed consistently pretty darn well. You know, scoring average and I think total defense heading into that game, third, fourth in the Big 12, maybe in respectively. Excuse me. Now, obviously, they'd only played Kansas in the league and a couple of, you know, Iowa's a good team, Toledo's a good team, and UNI's a good FCS team, but, you know, not like they played world beaters, I guess, any world beaters. And Kansas is, whew, man, the BT. So, you know, they obviously did not. I mean, it looked so much like last season's defense, except they still are faster. Mm-hmm. But, you know, bad pursuit angles, missed tackles aplenty. I think Coach Rhodes didn't really put a number on it. He just said, a lot.
Right. Well, I don't think he would even say. Tommy asked him.
Yeah. So the things that they looked like they'd sort of overcome. Now the real key is, can they get back to being who they were, which is a team that can keep keep the Cyclones in games, and you know, a side of the ball anyway that can keep the Cyclones in games, and hope that the offense catches fire at some point. I think they can be in a number of these games. With TCU on the slate next.
Right.
I can't imagine it being against them. I mean, Boykin is so good in and out of the pocket. I mean, I don't... we've had a few bleak starts to podcasts. I don't know how this isn't sort of a bleak start and finish. When thinking about trying to...
We avoided it for as long as we possibly could, though.
We did. It was a valiant, sunshine-filled effort. And now the dark clouds have gathered to the point that there's really no... I mean, there is if you, you know, shine a little light for Mike Warren, obviously, and
right.
The offensive line. He just keeps getting better. And who would have thought... This is what just stuns me. I'm not stunned that the team is 2-3 and got blown out by a really good offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were going into the season, I would have thought probably that they'd be 3-2
right.
at this point. So, I mean, it's not huge, but what's shocking is, what was the biggest question mark coming into the season? The running game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had guys that had Tyler Brown had the only college carries. And now, Mike Warren, who, granted, everyone talked up, and last season, and a great football mind, and Jeff Woody talked about how he was going to surprise people and make his mark. Nonetheless, you look at that and you say, boy, they're just going to have to make hay in the passing game. And here it is. The running game is the strength. The running game is inarguably the strength of Iowa State's football team.
I would agree. I would
just
say
wild.
That. I'd say he's. I wish we could have seen him play in those first couple games. you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think I really wish we could have seen him play against Northern Iowa, especially. But it, if he could keeps at the pace that he's going, I mean, he's got to be the team MVP.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, 574, is it, through five games?
Yeah, something like that. I think so.
And you take that to 10, and you're over 1,100, and you have a couple of decent games. I mean, it's not unfathomable to think he could, you know, go for 1,400 yards. Which
right. Where would that rank it?
Off the top of my head, I can't say. I know he's leading all freshmen by a wide margin in a couple of categories this year in yards per carry, I think 8.1.
Right.
And
I think total it's yards total yards.
Game,
or yeah, yards
114.8.
Yeah.
Nobody else is up at 100. But the Olsen guy at Pitt, I think, is in the 90s. But what a great – and then, look, he – interesting interview, too. Mm-hmm. It's nice talking to him because he just, you know, he thinks about what he's going to say, but it's not – but he says something fresh still every time. I mean,
right.
Yes, there are some of the same things because it's really what he means. You know, whether it be the how he approaches the work or everything else, but
he's young and he doesn't hate us yet.
Yeah, we'll see. Some people retained that type of rapport or that type of demeanor.
Yeah.
Throughout 4-year careers, and let's hope that's the case for him.
Okay, I'm looking at these. Sorry, I'm looking at these records. Rushing yards. Well, in a single game. What do you have, 246?
45, I want to say, but yeah, right there.
It's still eighth best all time in a single game. So then, man, they don't make these very easy to scroll through.
Obviously, you're not going to touch Troy Davis.
No.
In any way, shape, or form.
What'd you say, 1,300? Okay, so he's averaging.
Yeah, I would probably put him in about that range where he's at now.
Average. Man, I'm bad at looking at these stats.
Well, I'll talk while you're looking.
Yeah, you just keep talking.
Clearly, he's in the conversation that I believe, you know, of your Alexander Robinson, who didn't play a full 4 years, and you know, the late Ennis Haywood and some others who are among Iowa State's, I would say, top 5, 6, 7 backs for sure of the modern era, I guess I would say. Troy Davis and Darren Davis, I think, were just, I mean, Troy was in a whole other league, and Darren would have been considered in a whole other league if Troy hadn't preceded him, the things that he was, not only did, but was capable of doing on a weekly basis. So they never cease to surprise us. Some in ways both good and bad, and unfortunately for this season, it's been mostly bad with Warren being a big bright spot, and certainly some of the defenders have done well too.
All right, I've got this math down. All right, so at his current pace, he would finish with 1,377 yards, which would be fifth all time for a single season at Iowa State as a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, that's again just. Highly impressive, stellar, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, now
talk about surprising, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, people talked about how good he was, but there was no way that I think anyone thought he'd be this good.
But and then there were questions about the line, you know, because obviously they weren't exactly even average the last couple seasons. Obviously, injuries had a lot to do with that, I think. But still, you know, it was so difficult to get even a 200-yard game, the one last year, and. You know, I just like how he's had 5 rushes of 40 or more yards in the last 3 games, and the second one did once last season.
Yeah.
Once. And it was a guy who's no longer even on the team, Devondrick Neely. So, I mean, explosive, steady, confident, and he keeps promising that it's only going to get better for him as he learns more and works more. So that's a huge bright spot. I mean, it's like a, you know, over there in the corner. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can't, you know, it's overshadowed at this point, but definitely a great sign for the future.
I think one thing that a lot of people have been talking about this week has been the quarterback situation and the possibility of Sam Richardson being replaced by Joel Lanning. I just wanted to get what's your take on that?
Well, I think at some point it has to be deeply considered, and I didn't think I'd say that at any point this year. I've always been impressed with the way Sam Richardson takes care of the football, but also the way he was building steam. I mean, last year through just a miserable 2-10 season,
he seemed like the bright spot.
Yeah, and he performed well. He took care of it, and he got his touchdowns when he could. Yes, they weren't as good in the red zone as they should be. They didn't extend drives nearly as much as they needed to, but that was without a running game. Mm-hmm. Now they've got a running game, and he had his worst performance in his career at Texas Tech. He had never thrown three picks. He throws three picks. Could have been more. Starts off the game with a pick. Look, I'm not going to pretend to be in someone's head because I don't think that's fair to whatever someone, whoever that is. But you have to wonder where his mind must be at, because you would think he would have all the confidence in the world with the receiving weapons he has, the experience he has, and the track record he has of where he's going to be in the top five of a lot of categories as an Iowa State quarterback. And it's just sad. And Chris said it well today in Monday Musings. I mean, a great young man, and you want the best for him. But at this point, you have to, I mean, look to the future if indeed he's not able to get it back on track, which he very well could. Quentin Bundridge having his biggest game of the year, I think, should really help that, as Montgomery's kind of shown up the last few weeks. We know what Lazard's going to do week in and week out, and Daly's had his moment. So, I mean, the pieces are there. It's just a matter of, I don't think playing catch-up, I think, is maybe what gets in his mind a little bit. And who can blame him? I mean, the guy's been beat up, sacked. I don't want to think about how many times he's been sacked in his career, and obviously injured a number of those times too. So you hope that he can get it right, but I completely sympathize with fans that want to see Joel Lanning, given the cannon, like it's been, his arm has been referred to as a cannon for a few years now, and you kind of want to see the next. It's natural. I mean, every fan base does it, and we'll see which way they go. But I think Sam would have to stumble mightily again for them to pull that trigger, because once you open that Pandora's box, it stays open.
Eric Hosmer just hit a home run.
Really?
He did.
Those Royals.
But I see where people are coming from with wanting to see more of Joel Lanning. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's kind of your quarterback of the future at this point, you know. And I see where they want to get him some experience, especially if it kind of comes to the point where this season is lost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Maybe if they got to where they weren't going to make a bowl game, why not see what he can do?
Yeah.
You know? I guess that's kind of the way that I look at it.
Yeah, and I'm completely on board with that. Again, if Sam has a game like the last game this week, I think it would be unwise for Coach Rhodes or Mangino to not say, hey, this has got to be open. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how much we appreciate what Sam has done in the past, which is a lot of good. I mean, even though you point to the record as a starter, the last two seasons, the defense, which had been a team which you could say was the biggest reason they went to bowl games three times in the first 4 years under Rhodes, the biggest reason. Well, they've been the biggest reason that they've lost as much the last couple years. So just not having enough guys. So, a lot of that goes to him. I mean, if I were him, my mental state would be in tatters. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, that's all, because of, you want the fast starts you don't get, and then you press, and then you're like, oh, now I do this, I throw an interception, because when I'm trying to throw it away, it looked like he was trying to throw it away, but he just didn't have the oomph as he was on the move under siege again. A lack of success can mess with your head, and then problem areas that never get solved mess with your head. Now, conversely, people will say, well, he should solve those problems, but he can't do it on his own. So he's been in a tough spot. But I think it's got to consider it if indeed he doesn't rebound here and rebound well.
Do you think this defense has any chance to be any better this week against
this
TCU?
Week? boy, I can't see it, but I do know that it is an eager bunch and a bunch that I don't think. Here's what I wonder about them. They built some swagger, and you could tell that, and that was refreshing. The confidence is there, and I wonder if they need to make sure they amp up the humility to go along with it. I think they probably felt that they could contain Texas Tech a lot more than they could realistically, and they got burned for that. I mean, I still didn't watch them on the field and go, wow, look at how these guys are outrunning them. They, again, just took bad angles or a few split-second bad decisions. I mean, I didn't see the linebackers showing up much in that game. You know, Jake Knott somehow keeps playing through the...
Jake Knott?
No. Wish he could keep playing. But Luke Knott through the double hip surgery. He's had some productive games. I mean, he's made some nice sticks. Jordan Harris has had some big games. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those games where you didn't hear a lot from that second level. And the secondary, I mean, Mahomes, the offensive line could keep plays alive for Mahomes. So you could seemingly, you know, belt out about a half of a full jock jam, the amount of time that he had to just survey the field. Whether he's good on the move, too. Yeah. So he picked somebody out. I mean, I think guys were covered a lot of times. But you can't, you know, coverage breaks down at some point once guys start improvising and they're able to adjust. And just a bad deal. I think the defense is still greatly improved over last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just
agree.
These games, you know, if they do perform much better this week, and that's a great sign for what's to come, which I know a lot of people have written off this season based on particularly last Saturday's, not only outcome, but how it played out, how it looked. But if they can perform, you know, just if they can just hold TCU down to some degree and give the offense a chance, I think there's still a lot of hope for this season. But that's a huge if. Based on last week, it doesn't look like that if moves into the realm of possibility. But, you know, we'll see.
What'd you do to your arm, man? You're all bandaged up.
I wrecked on my bike.
Oh, no. I actually wrecked on my bike this morning, too.
Wow.
Probably way different scenarios, though.
I was finishing off a ride with my wife, and I take the hills a little bit with a little bit more gusto than she does on the way up. And I was just cranking up a hill, just uh-huh. cranking. But we were up on the sidewalk. We were back in town in Ankeny and on a fairly busy street. And I was cranking it, and I got a little bit off to the grass. So I'm just steering myself back on the sidewalk. There was just enough of a gap, like a rut, that you couldn't see as
That's actually exactly what happened to me.
Grass is over, and my front tire is just jammed in there. I'm going like this, and I just went flying forward. I mean, I rode back like this. Luckily, it was such a hard hit.
Yeah.
Blood wasn't streaming down.
Oh,
it just was big time nasty. It was, like, swollen an inch out in three spots where I'd impacted the ground.
Dang. That's like when I fell off the longboard.
That didn't happen on our bike ride. That's fantastic.
Yeah. But this morning I was on my way to class, and I tried to take a turn a little bit too sharp. Mm. I tried to go out and then make the turn on the sidewalk, and it just caught when I went back on the sidewalk. Yeah. And I just went straight over. But I had to hop right back up. I was already late to class, so I was already trying. I was hustling. I didn't have any time to sit in my sorrows.
That's what we do. We hop right back up. I mean, I was bloodied. I was battered. You know, just a bad luck. Just a bad luck thing. But you can't bemoan it.
Right.
You know, we overcame that adversity and been out on the bike at least once since. Going to keep riding until it gets cold.
Me too. I think I got my bike up in Ames, well, like right before we did our bike ride. And I'm pretty sure ever since then, I haven't driven anywhere by myself unless I was going like to work or clear across town. I just ride my bike everywhere.
Yeah. It's nice, economical.
Yeah.
It's easier to get in and out of places, you know. Nice.
I hope you don't end up all scarred up like I did after my longboard thing.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
I have scars all over my knee just from that one thing.
Wow. I've living as long as I have, I've got a few I don't know if I ever told the story about the scar down my nose, my big schnoz. We'll save that for another podcast. That was another overseas adventure that
That's
involved,
what we
involved
need
a lot of alcohol.
Sometime we just need an overseas adventure story.
Type. Yeah, or maybe we could work in a 5-minute spot. Wait, every time.
They have another bye week. Well, basketball season will be started by then. We're talking about basketball.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we can do a special edition. Maybe we can include it with Ted Flint.
Yeah, there we go. That'll work out perfect. All right, there were some other games I wanted to pick your brain on this week. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the schedule. It's pretty good. Pretty good slate. You ready?
I'm always ready.
All right, Thursday night, number 18 UCLA taking on number 15 Stanford at Stanford. What do you think?
Man, Stanford sure seems to have righted the ship or the tree. I have a hard time picking against them at their place. But UCLA's having quite a year, despite some big injuries. I like Stanford's defense. The one egg they laid notwithstanding. I'd like Stanford to pick this out in a classic Pac-12 Big Ten type score, like a 13-10 or 17-14 or something like that.
What about the Hawks visiting Evanston to take on Northwestern?
You wonder how Northwestern rebounds after, I don't know, they were exposed. It was just a bad game against Michigan, and Michigan's obviously gathered a lot of momentum, feeling good about itself. That's been a house of horrors for Iowa, as anybody knows. And sometimes even back at Kinnick Stadium, Northwestern bites them. I think something about this season for Iowa has that magic feel. They're a good team, but not a team that you know, if they were 12-0, you'd go, oh, my Lord, that's one of the best teams in the country. They're just a very good team.
Northwestern derailed their 2009 season, didn't they?
Yeah. But Iowa's had those years. I'm trying to – the Stanzi year where they won all these close games.
2009.
And just living in, you know – down to the last moment so many times. I like C.J. Beathard to have a nice game in this one, even though Northwestern's deep. You know, that the defense is good for Northwestern. I think Michigan was a bit of an outlier, but Beathard's a good, darn good quarterback, and I think he finds a way. I think he finds a way, and Iowa improves to, what would it be, 7-0?
Yep. Number 10, Alabama at number 9, Texas A&M.
The Alabama revenge tour continues after, and man, that was a few years ago, obviously, that they got dismantled by
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Football, yeah. that's such a tough one to pick, man. I'm probably going to pick Alabama the rest of the year because of how good I think their defensive line is and how good I think they generally are on defense, and that Ole Miss game just pissed them off so much. I think they go into College Station and win.
Okay.
And then by like 10.
I'm interested to see how much tickets to this game are. $140 is the cheapest one. I don't think Iowa State tickets are going for quite that much.
No, not this week. Not this week. But hey. Magic. Yeah. Magic could happen.
Number 7, Michigan State at number 12, Michigan.
Right now I'm all on the Harbaugh train.
Pretty soon you'll be wearing khakis all the time.
Yeah. Be a big upgrade to my jeans and shorts all the time. The old man can't even show any sartorial splendor.
That's a word right there.
I said it once about an Iowa State basketball player. The way he was dressed on the bench, and it was just became. I made it a hashtag for a little while. Always impressed with how some young men are able to show a sense of style. I used to be able to do that too. Now it's just you don't care after a certain age that much. But Michigan State has been one of those many teams that was considered a playoff contending team, and obviously still could be. I mean, that has underperformed. It seems like. I think it's Michigan's time to beat them and beat them good. I mean, really, really, really knock the Spartans down. But we'll see because we haven't made our picks for Fanatic this week.
Right.
So I might change my tune as I research it a little bit more deeper into the week. But the vibe around Michigan right now, I heard that Harbaugh mentioned a I was going to say what he mentioned, and I've already forgotten what it was. But it was just some funny reference of some sort. So he's loose. His team is loose. Confident again. I think they take it to Sparty and Mr. Sunshine, Coach D'Antonio.
I think that Michigan, Ohio State might end up being the one that everybody was talking about Michigan State, Ohio State being. I think that might end up, they might be both 11-0.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That would be just great for college football. Again, right. Like we talked about last week, ain't going to be every year that that's happening. But when, I'll flat out say it, it is nice when some of those dynasty teams are having big years.
Or, well, I guess Michigan wouldn't be an 11-0. Sorry, they'd be.
But yeah, they lost the game to Utah. But I mean, they'd be.
They would have won 10 in a row.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun when those two teams are good.
Right.
And go at it no matter what. So, let's hope that you're spot on with that.
All right, and then there's one more. I was thinking.
See, for these, I wish we did our podcast a little bit later in the week because I'm.
Wait, what?
Oh, I was just going to say. Well, but we're Stream of Consciousness Renegade guys anyway, so.
That's right, see, I just spring these on you. You're not prepared.
No.
Number 8, Florida, at number 6, LSU.
LSU. Fournette. I'm glad that, by the way, that they're allowing him.
Right.
I mean, do we talk about people being unable to get out of their own way at times? You know, sometimes it's Iowa State football, sometimes it's Cubs in 2003 come to mind. Come on. I love the people that tweeted, here's the website where they're selling the number 7 for $90 at NCAA.com. And no, we're not going to let them. We're not going to let them use the jersey to raise money for flood victims devastated in South Carolina. And luckily they reversed course. I mean, that's the case. Social media can do a lot of bad, like, people piling on certain people. I don't condone that under any circumstances.
Right.
I mean, unless somebody's done something terrible, but I mean piling on a college athlete or that sort of thing. Perfectly within your rights to do, but I don't think it's, I consider it classless. In this case, I think people made just so many seriously question mark things in social media. I think probably NCAA was immediately scrambling to find a way to just say,
right.
No, we can do it. We can make an exception in this case. They have some really weird rules. Someday there's got to be a book that, like, because you know they do those books where the towns that or states that have the weirdest laws about certain thing. There has to be a book out there where it's just like the strangest, most arcane or ridiculous.
I know a pretty good writer that could write it.
You?
No, you. Oh, okay. That's what I was saying, man.
We could co-author it.
Yeah, there we go. A Cyclone Fanatic.
The senior's first collaborative effort.
From Cyclone Fanatic Publications.
Indeed, yes. That'd be great. But I think it would be just be hilarious to read some of them. Because, I mean, you hear about the, wait, they can't do that, but they can do this. Or
yeah.
You can't this and that. I mean, I don't know.
And all the different ways they've been interpreted over the years.
Yes.
We got 51 minutes to this game. Ready to go get ready?
Yes. I'm ready to cheer Jake Arrieta on to yet another shutout, his 49th of the season. I'm prone to hyperbole today, but you got to admit, there's some trepidation on your part when he takes a mound, isn't there?
I don't know. I'm feeling confident behind Waka.
Well, Iowan Michael Waka. He was born in Iowa City.
Yes. I don't know. Ever since he pitched in the NLDS that year against the Pirates, I'm confident in his ability to go to face the big lights.
He's been a pretty clutch guy. There's no question about that. I keep wondering when or if it's gonna the wheels fall off for Arrieta because, boy, if it were ever gonna happen, I would have thought it would in Pittsburgh, and he was brilliant again for that one. Mm-hmm. You know, the one and done elimination game. So. I just, you know, maybe the Cardinals get a couple big time hits, whether it be a fam off the bench or maybe starting, I don't know. But should be a great game. And again, a great series. I think we were right on to think about 5 games. Mm-hmm. And I just hope I hope that we were both wrong on who on who takes it in 5 games.
All right. You got anything else to add?
Not really. Just to let people know, we're going to do plenty of hoops.
Oh, yeah.
You've got some more women's. You had a notebook going up. I'll have a Monte Morris feature very shortly this week.
I have a Bridget Carlton feature I'm working on as well.
And I'm sure Chris will put in his wise words as well. So
I would expect to hear his and his podcast with Brent Bloom looking at the postseason magazines. I'd expect to hear that at some point as well.
Oh, yeah.
Before too long.
That'd be very informative.
I've got to get him his magazines back. That reminds me to pull those out of my backpack. But that's all we've got for today.
Yes, indeed.
Have a
couple
great
bike wrecks.
Yeah. After a couple bike wrecks and after a great podcast, it's time to go cheer on the Cardinals, right, Rob?
If by Cardinals you mean Cubs, yes.
Have a great week. Have a great week, everybody.
Ciao.